morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up stories from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. I'm Nikki Ouellette, filling in for Jess Sheldahl. Today is Tuesday, October 29th. Today we've got stories on new cases of lung injuries associated with vaping, a lawsuit challenging grizzly bear deaths, and a federal program aimed at reducing the number of children in Montana's overburdened foster care system. Montana health officials have announced two more cases of lung injury associated with vaping and say they're investigating other possible cases. The Department of Public Health and Human Services said yesterday a Cascade County teen was hospitalized this summer and again in October, while a Lake County resident in their 30s was hospitalized this month. Both are recovering. One person reported vaping both nicotine and THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, while the other had a history of vaping THC. Montana has confirmed four cases of lung injury and one death associated with vaping. State Medical Officer Dr. Greg Holzman says the health department is working with local public health departments on more investigations. Federal officials have counted 1,600 lung injury cases and 34 deaths through October 24th. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service are investigating several recent human-caused grizzly bear deaths in southwest Montana. Rachel Kramer with Yellowstone Public Radio News reports.
A hunter reportedly shot a grizzly bear in self-defense in the South Gravelly Mountain Saturday afternoon. The hunter was uninjured and reported the incident to FWP. Spokesperson Morgan Jacobson says further details are unavailable as the investigation is ongoing. This is the fourth human bear conflict in the Gravelly Mountains this year. In September, four people were attacked in three separate incidents.
Bears are still active this time of year, and in effect, grizzly bears can be active at varying levels throughout the winter. People should still practice all the safety precautions that we talk about, you know, hunting with a partner, carrying bear spray, just having situational awareness of where you are.
FWP and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service are also investigating two other human-caused grizzly bear mortalities that happened last week in the West Yellowstone area. One of the bear carcasses is located near the Oshelotl Lake or Red Cub Trail in the Hebgen Lake Ranger District. Custer Gallatin National Forest announced Monday an emergency closure for a one-mile stretch of the trail while the investigation into the bear death continues. Last week, FWP euthanized a 350-pound adult female grizzly bear in the town of Ferndale, east of Big Fork. FWP had previously captured and relocated the bear in early October after it broke into chicken coops. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Conservation groups announced yesterday that they sent a letter to Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway threatening a lawsuit over grizzly bears killed along its tracks. So far this year, a record 8 grizzlies from the Northern Continental Divide ecosystem have been killed by trains. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports.
Grizzly bears in the lower 48 are protected as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. It's illegal to kill them even if it's an accident. Pete Frost is an attorney with the Western Environmental Law Center and is representing Wild Earth Guardians and Western Watersheds Project, both of which alleged in a letter sent earlier this month that BNSF Railway is violating the ESA by not doing more to mitigate grizzly deaths along its tracks. Frost argues the railway company's operations have led to 52 NCDE grizzly deaths since 1980. The letter also serves as a 60-day notice for a potential lawsuit.
These trains have been killing grizzlies for a number of years, if not decades. And in this situation, it's the responsibility of the railway company to obtain a permit that would set conditions on its operations to obviate further take.
Frost says BNSF has been dragging its feet when it comes to obtaining the permit for incidental take of grizzlies. In order to do so, BNSF needs to develop a habitat conservation plan which outlines how it will mitigate grizzly deaths. In an emailed statement, BNSF says both the conservation plan and its incidental take permit are in the final stages of review by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and both will soon be up for public comment. Frost says the Environmental Law Center and the conservation groups that signed on to Monday's letter hope to sit down with BNSF to talk about potential solutions before they move forward with a lawsuit.
We're not train operators. We're conservationists. But the literature that I've seen suggests that steps such as slowing trains down, perhaps running them at different times during the day, being prompt to clean up carrion or spilled grain. Those are the kinds of feasible and reasonable solutions that the railroad ought to consider.
The conservation groups can choose whether to move forward with legal action in mid-December. It's unknown whether BNSF's mitigation plan or incidental take permit will be released by then. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
National Weather Service meteorologists say snowfall in Montana has broken a 35-year-old record. The Great Falls Tribune reported Sunday that more than 31 inches of snow have been recorded in Great Falls in September and October. Scientists say the amount of snowfall sets a record for the time frame beginning July 1st. The previous record was 18 inches in 1984. Meteorologists say that the 31 inches that have already fallen this year is more than half of the 60 inches that routinely fall during an entire snow season. Meteorologists say snow is expected to continue with record-breaking cold through mid-November. They say the average temperature in October has been 40.3 degrees, about 5.9 degrees below normal. Scientists say residents should be prepared as current weather continues to behave more like December or January. According to Montana's Child Protective Services Division, there are about 3,800 children in the state's foster care system. State officials say a new federal program could reduce that number, in part, by treating behavioral health issues within families. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
When the state removes Montana kids from their families for their own protection, there are generally one or two common factors.
I would say substance abuse and serious mental health issues.
Nikki Grossberg is deputy administrator of Montana's Child Protective Services Division.
Meth is still the primary drug of choice for parents that we're engaged with, but alcohol and opioids are also impacting families.
Montana has one of the highest foster care rates in the nation. But according to Grossberg, it's at least starting to stabilize.
We have made a big effort on helping kids exit care, so really trying to increase kids who are available for adoption, really increasing getting those children to permanency, and then really trying to also on the front end of it work with providers and families to keep children in the home.
Those goals dovetail with new federal legislation that has the potential to dramatically change how child welfare systems across the nation are managed. The 2018 Family First Prevention Services Act basically changes how federal foster care and adoption services funding works. Montana's Child Protective Services Division's Nikki Grossberg says
it's a reimbursement stream to provide in-home interventions to keep children with their families in the home while parents are receiving evidence-based treatment models for substance abuse, mental health, or parent education.
In other words, the goal is to do everything possible to allow young foster care candidates to stay with their parents or relatives. It simultaneously discourages support for institutional group home settings, unless absolutely necessary. Grossberg says the new law allows states to spend the same federal dollars they're already getting, but in new ways.
Ideally, states are saving money on the group home placement and being able to put it in the prevention side of interventions to keep children in the homes, which truly is what's best for kids and families.
By spending the money on behavioral health treatment for the family up front, Grossberg says it may help prevent a kid from winding up in foster care. But she says Montana's foster care officials will have to be vigilant to ensure particularly vulnerable children aren't kept in harm's way in pursuit of the new program's goals.
There are certain situations where children are not able to be maintained in the home safely, and that they will have to come into the foster care system. Ideally, they will be placed with relatives. But yes, we have to be very thoughtful and very thorough about how we assess these families to provide the appropriate services to keep the children safe while they're in the home.
A national consultant Monday gave an overview of the Family First Prevention Services Act. About 120 providers and officials attended the Helena meeting.
Today has been a really positive group of people to come together. They've asked a lot of really good questions of the presenter, and I really do feel like Montana is going to have a great opportunity to really change how child welfare works.
Some provisions of the Family First Act took effect this month. Montana is one of 32 states that will delay its implementation until 2021. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Tune in to Montana Public Radio's evening newscast tonight for updates on news of the day. I'm Nikki Willett, filling in for Jess Sheldahl. Thanks for listening.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.